God, I am so excited for an opportunity to worship together with all of you today. God has been doing some amazing things over this last week as we have even been preparing for this time together, and I just praise God for the opportunity that we have to celebrate a risen Savior today, amen? As we get started here, if you would, just pause with me for a moment of prayer. God, we do thank you so much for your presence here among us, God. We recognize that you are here, for your word promises that you would be with us. We ask, and I ask, Father, that the words of my mouth would be yours today. I ask, God, that you would speak in a mighty and powerful way, God, that your message alone would be heard in this place, God, and that you would encourage each and every one of us to say yes to you, whatever that might look like and whatever that might mean. God, we submit our time and our hearts to you now. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we get to start a brand new sermon series that we're just simply calling Celebrate. We have a lot of reason to celebrate, amen? Like, no matter what has been going on in your life, no matter what led you here today, no matter what struggles you've had, no matter what will come even, we have a lot of reason to celebrate all that God is doing in our lives. And today, we have this opportunity in particular to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I know that for some, the idea of talking about resurrection is sort of odd, right? Resurrection is not something that is maybe normally part of our language. It's not normally part of our conversation, right? And so it can be sort of weird to kind of talk through, like I get, like, Jesus was dead and we're celebrating the fact that he's alive and all that kind of stuff, but, like, what does that actually have to do with me? Well, I'd really love to get there eventually, but I want to start in talking about the disciples that Jesus spent most of his time with. See, for his disciples, most of their lives, they spent just living just regular old lives, right? They were fishermen and tax collectors, and they had regular jobs and bills and families and all this kind of stuff, right? And then one day, they got connected with Jesus, and everything changed, right? And at first, it was kind of weird because they were like, what in the world is this Jesus guy doing? Like, he's healing people and casting demons out, and dead people are coming alive. Like, all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And so the more they spend time with Jesus, the more they're like this is just absolutely amazing. And so they're like flying high, right? It's like everywhere they go, it's like they're just waiting to see what Jesus is going to do next. Because now they've gotten to the point where they kind of expect that Jesus is going to do more crazy miracle stuff, right? And then, in a very unexpected way for the disciples anyway, Jesus gets arrested. And he is tried. He's found innocent in that trial, and yet still convicted to death by crucifixion. And he actually dies on the cross. This was not what the disciples were expecting. And what made it even worse, I think, was that the next day was a Sabbath. And so they weren't allowed to do anything. Like, I know for myself, like, sometimes if I'm going through something hard or stressful or whatever like that, sometimes I'll just do stuff just to kind of keep my mind off of it, right? Well, it was actually part of the religious practice that they couldn't do anything. All they could do is, I imagine, probably just sit and think all the more about what just happened, right? I mean, think about it. Like, in Luke chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus describes himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. Who is he now, right? He's not even there on the Sabbath. Like, he died the day before. Like, who is Jesus now? Is he still the Savior that he claimed to be? Like, I can imagine the disciples are kind of running through all these questions in their minds. Like wait a second, like is he still the Savior? Like, what does this mean about, like, us as apostles and as disciples, as followers of Jesus? Like, what does it mean? Like, where's our hope now? Like, all of our hope is in this guy, and then this guy just died on a cross, and so what do we do? What do we do now? I can't imagine the despair that they felt in that day. Their hope was nailed to a cross and laid in a tomb. And then they have a whole day that they have to just sit on it, right? If you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to turn to Luke 24. If you don't, it'll be up on the screen as well. But I want to read through the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24. Because it was after they had this whole day of thinking about it that this happens. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. So it's on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Verse 8, then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So here we see where the disciples, they have this this incredible encounter on Friday where everything they had put their hopes in had just died on the cross. Then they have this whole day on Saturday where they really don't have anything else to do but to think about, like, what this means now. And I can't imagine all the questions that they had. But then Sunday morning, these women show up at the tomb where Jesus was laid, and they come back to the disciples with this story that Jesus isn't there anymore. Here the disciples finally move from doubt and anxiety to joy and amazement. Here the disciples are able to see that wait a second, like, the hope that I had before Jesus died can be restored to me once again. Like the hope that I had for this whole new life and this whole way of being, it didn't have to go away completely, because if Jesus is back, that hope can be back too, right? They were reminded again. Actually, let me back up here just a moment, because there are two words in here that are very intriguing to me, and I want to go back to a couple of these in verse 4. Brian, if we can go back to verse 4. When the women got there, they saw that the tomb was empty, right? And it says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed with light showed up. So when the women showed up, the body wasn't there, and they were left at this place of wondering, right? They were still in this place of questioning. what does this mean now? It's like every time they turn around from Friday all the way to now, it just they're constantly sort of bombarded with more and more questions, and things are different. And so how do I navigate all this? And so these women had to sort of, they're sitting here like trying to take it all in. And what do we do with this? And in the midst of that, the angels show up, and that's where they actually have this encounter with the angels, that they receive the good news that Jesus Christ is risen. So they go back to tell the disciples, right? Peter, and we know from other accounts, John and some of the other disciples, they make their way to the tomb as well. And we find, again there in verse 12, that when they got there, they saw the linen and all that kind of stuff on the ground. But it says, wondering to himself, this is Peter now, wondering to himself what had happened, he just kind of walked away from the tomb. See, again, they saw that it was empty, but all it left them with was more questions of what does this mean now? What could have happened now? What do I do now? How do I respond to this now? But his response was not celebration. Notice, when the women saw the angels, they had this encounter in such a way that it solidified in their hearts that yes, like there's some good news that we have to share. Like Jesus is risen and he is alive. And so they went and took the good news. But for Peter, it was easier for him to say that the women were crazy than it was for him to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. Right? Let me skip down to verse 36 here. Luke 24 and verse 36. And I'm going to read the 36 down to verse 41. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. Let me back up and get a little background here. So after all of this, the disciples, they're gathered together. Again, they're trying to figure out, like, what do we do now, right? In the midst of this, Jesus shows up. Still in verse 36, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds?" Now, I want to stop there for just a second, because it makes me wonder here if Jesus is not just talking about this moment. See, I wonder if instead of him just talking about this moment, that he's actually been talking about how they've been processing things since Friday, right? Why is it that doubts are rising in your mind? Why are you troubled? Like, it makes me wonder if he's not saying to them, like, guys, we talked about this. I told you over and over, like, this is how it's going to go. Like, why are you all messed up about this, right? You knew I was coming back, or you should have anyway, right? See, I guess what I'm getting at is, up until the point that the disciples actually saw Jesus with their own eyes, they still found themselves in a place of doubt. And according to what Jesus is saying here, when they first saw him with their own eyes, they found themselves in a place of doubt. And yet, Jesus still came back to them. Like, he found his way to them. Let me finish reading this here. Where did I leave off? I'm on the wrong page. That'll help. Verse 39. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" That just goes to show that while Jesus was 100% God, he was 100% man. Amen. Even when he rises from the dead, he still wants something to eat, right? it's all right, it'll be funny later. Now here's what's interesting though, right? Because the disciples, they held on to this doubt, and then there in verse 41, it says that as they were having this conversation, like as Jesus was showing the wounds, as Jesus was sort of convincing them, like hey, like this is for real, like this actually happened. It says, then they changed, verse 41 there, while they still did not believe it, now it was because of joy and amazement, right? So it went from, how in the world did that happen? To, how in the world is this happening, right? Like you got to see that. Like, I know, like, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, like, it's hard to, like, articulate, like, what. But you got to put some tone into it there. Like, on one hand, the disciples are, like, crushed. Like, all their hope is gone. All they have are more questions. What does this mean for me and for my life and all everybody else who's been following? It's like, how could this happen? And then after they encounter Jesus, they see him and they see the holes and they see the wounds and they know that it's him. Like, it is for real like him, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, how in the world does this happen, right? Now they went from complete despair to party time with Jesus, to the point that Jesus is like, hey, if we don't have a party, we might as well eat something, right? Come on, get some food out here. There was something that flipped once they encountered Jesus, like for themselves, right? Now, I'm going to try to illustrate this in a way that might make sense, or it might just make the whole thing even crazier, all right? So when Jesus died, this is what I have to work with, all right? Just go with me here. So when Jesus died, Jesus went in the grave. So the box is gonna be the grave, all right? Jesus went in the grave. And when Jesus went into the grave, like, hope was lost, right? All the followers, they didn't know what to do, like disciples, all that kind of stuff. But when Jesus came out of the grave, right, and the women came and saw that the grave was empty, they saw that empty grave, and they obviously had the encounter with the angels, and so they actually celebrated that Jesus is no longer there, for that means something in their lives, right? Yet, Peter and other disciples, when they came and saw the exact same empty grave, they just went away wondering. Do you see the difference there? Now, what's interesting is that when Jesus went into the grave, in a manner of speaking, it wasn't just him that went in there, but rather there was a whole bunch of people that went in there, all of his followers. It was as if all of their hope, like their own lives, went into the box, went into the grave as well. And when Jesus came out, there were the women who came on out with him. Like, they saw the good news, and they weren't going to be stuck in their despair anymore. But when Peter heard about it, he stayed right there in that grave, in his hopelessness, in his questioning, in his wondering, like, what does any of this mean, right? And it wasn't until, my hands are full. It wasn't until Jesus actually came back to Peter and all the disciples and showed them, like, hey, I'm not in the grave anymore, that Peter realized, wait a second, I don't have to be in the grave anymore either. I don't have to live in despair anymore. I don't have to live hopeless anymore. I don't have to live like my yesterday has to define today. Like, I don't have to live like every day is Friday. I don't have to live like I don't have purpose in my life, because Jesus got out of the box, because Jesus got out of the grave. Peter realized, I can get up out of that grave too. But here's the deal. Sorry, I'll try not to wag that at you. Here's the deal. You can't get out of the box on your own. Like, Peter couldn't get out of the box on his own. Peter had to recognize that the only way out of his despair was to hold on to Jesus and to allow Jesus to get him up out of the grave that he put himself in, right? Now, let's be honest. I think we all kind of are able to relate with this feeling in one way or another, right? Like just like the disciples, we've had points in our lives where we were just living life, right? Where we were either going to school or doing work, raising families. We were paying bills and cleaning house and all this kind. We were just doing life, right? And maybe we even were a part of a church. Maybe we even got baptized at one point in our lives. Maybe we had like what we would consider to be a truly spiritual experience with God. Maybe we were beginning to find some things that we might even classify as purpose for our lives. Like I can really see where God is sort of leading me in. He's sort of showing me that some of the gifts that I have can be used in these different ways. Maybe we saw some of those things. But at some point in our lives, something interrupted that. Maybe it was a divorce, right? Maybe it was a job loss. Maybe it was an issue with the church where you got hurt or somebody was done wrong. Maybe your family moved to a different city. Maybe you got hurt by someone that should have been taking care of you, but instead actually wounded you badly. Maybe you made choices that came with hard consequences. And for whatever it was, there's some reason why you ended up in a grave. Or you ended up in a place where you feel like you don't have hope anymore. You're not really sure what your purpose is anymore. You're not really, maybe you even feel like whatever happened back then has defined who I am now, and there's just no way that I can get out of that. But what we have to celebrate today is that Jesus is no longer in the grave. So we need to know that if we're going to find ourselves in the box, if we're going to find ourselves in the grave where there is no hope and all we are overcome with is anxiety and despair, we got to realize we are not in there with Jesus. Jesus is outside the grave wanting to pull us up out of that. And the only way, let me just tell you right now, I wish there was 100 ways to do this. But there's only one way to get out of the grave. And the way you get out of the grave is to connect yourself, to have a personal connection with the only one who's been able to overcome the grave. And Jesus is the only one who's been able to overcome the grave. The only way we get out of our grave of despair and hopelessness and anxiety is to have a personal encounter with Jesus so that the power that he lives in can live inside of us, that we can realize we don't have to be in that grave anymore. We can live free. And we do that in relationship with him, right? What did I even hit back there? As long as I didn't hit the guitar, we're good. I don't want Pastor David mad at me. The truth of the matter is we are not destined to live in the box. We're not destined to live in the grave. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross so that we could stay in our grave of hopelessness and despair and anxiety. No, Jesus went to the cross and rose from the grave in order that we might be able to come up out of that, but not on our own, because we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. He's the only one that has the power to overcome death itself. Now, in John chapter 20, verse 29, it says, Jesus told them, because he's talking to his disciples here, by the way, and he says, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, what I want to encourage you with is there may be some of you who are here today who are like, Pastor, all this sounds great. Like, I recognize that, yes, I've kind of put myself in sort of a grave. I've kind of kept myself in a box, and sometimes it feels like the lid is nailed on top there. But I don't really see Jesus in my life. Like, how am I supposed to come out of the grave? How am I supposed to have a personal encounter with him if I don't actually see him? And what I want to encourage you with today is that even if you don't see him for yourself, by faith, you can trust him with your life, and even if you don't see Jesus, he can still get you up out of the grave that you can see all around you. See, because when you're down in the grave, it seems like all you can see is dirt. Come on now, I'm amen myself if I have to here. All you can see is that you are 6 feet away from getting anywhere close to life, right? But Jesus is outside of the grave, knowing full well that there's all kinds of life to be lived out here. And so what we've got to do is, even if we can't see Jesus, we got to have faith enough to believe that he is able. And when we do, he will be able to bring us up out of that, even when we don't see him first. In Luke 15, Jesus tells this parable of about this family. This guy, he's got two kids, and they money is flowing, right? They are just rolling in cash, and they got all kinds of workers out there and everything, servants doing all kinds of work, and the sons are very, very different, right? For those of you that have multiple kids, there are no two that come out the same. They just go different, right? They just go different. And the youngest one, of which I am, so he must be a really awesome guy, decided, you know what? Like the dad life is, like, being with dad, like, that's been cool, like, being with my older brother and everything, that's nice and everything. But I just want to go explore the world. Like, I just want to see what's out there, right? I want to live the life, right? And so he goes to his dad and he said, "Hey, Dad, I want my inheritance. Like, I know you're still alive, but I'd really, like, prefer it if I could just get the money, like, as if you were dead," right? It's a parable, right? And the dad was like, "All right, here you go." And the son goes off. Now, what's crazy about this is, while he's gone, like they don't have, like I know for Beth and I, with our phones, you can do that whole share location thing, like, which we use because we lose our phones all the time, and so it's just helpful to be able to find where it is we left it. But you can also, like, know where other people are, right? They ain't got this. Well, you know, back with Jesus and everything, there's no Find My iPhone with Jesus, right? And so, like, when the son goes, and again, it's a parable, it didn't actually happen, but this is reality, and this is something the people there would have very easily connected with. When the son goes, like, the father doesn't know if the son's alive or not after that. Like, there's no emailing back or texting back and forth or whatever, "Let me know when you get there," right? That's not part of it. Like, when he's gone, he's gone. And father doesn't know if he's coming back or not. Well, as you would imagine, things do not go well with this younger son. He blows all of his money, and before long, he's got no money, he's got no friends, and the only job he can find is feeding pigs, right? He has firmly established himself in the box, right? He has firmly established himself in the grave. And as he's feeding pigs, he's like, "This is the dumbest thing ever. Why am I here? If I just went back to my father, like, he's got servants living better than this." And so the son goes back, and he goes, and before he's even able to get his apology out, the dad's like, "Start the party! Start the party! Like, get the calf, get the sandals, get the ring! Like, yo, we've been talking about this! Get the party together! Like, come on! Like he's back! Let's do this!" Son is like, no, Dad, let me know. "No, you need to be quiet, son! Start the party!" And they're making all these preparations for this celebration and everything, and as you read in the story, it's like, why in the world would his father do this? Like, his son treated him as if he was dead, right? Why would they be celebrating disobedience? Well, they're celebrating because only the father can get him out of the grave. Amen. Only the father can restore him to the family. Right? Only the father can take him from maybe a servant to a son again, right? And you think about it, in a way, he sort of sold off his right as a son when he took his inheritance. But only the father could get him out of the grave. So the father was just out of his mind, because he knew that once the son came back, like, he could get him out of the grave. He could get him out of the despair and out of the hopelessness and out of the anxiety of the fact that he couldn't be successful on his own. The father verse 10. It says, in the same way, this is Jesus speaking to his audience now, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See, what I want you to recognize today is that Jesus doesn't just want us to celebrate his resurrection. Rather, Jesus also wants us to celebrate our resurrection too. Like, no matter what put us in the box, we aren't destined for the box. And because Jesus is alive, we get to be made alive as well. We get to live in hope again. We get to live in peace again. We get to live in purpose again. Like, we don't have to be held according to our mistakes and our sins. But rather, because Jesus gets us up out of the grave, we can be made brand new. The good news is that Jesus is alive. Jesus got out of the grave. And so even though we can't get ourselves out of the graves that we have put ourselves in, Jesus has a history of doing that. Think about it. If you're thinking about hiring somebody for a business of yours, like one of the things you're going to look for on the application or the resume is, like, do they have a history of doing what I need them to do somewhere else? Like, did they learn how to do this somewhere else so they ain't going to mess it up for me, right? And we can praise God for the fact that only Jesus has on his resume defeated death. Only Jesus has on his resume overcame despair. Only Jesus has that on his resume. So if we're looking for somebody to overcome the anxiety and hopelessness that has put us in our graves, he is the only one that we have to look to. He's the only choice. And guess what? Our name is not on the list. We can't get ourselves out. Our resume will never say, got himself out of the grave, gave himself hope, gave himself new life, forgave himself. Our resume will never say that. Only Jesus can do that for us. His resurrection means that death has been defeated and that we can have hope again, that anxiety can be overcome, that we can experience life again in Christ Jesus, in a relationship with him. Remember, it's as we are connected to him that we are able to be taken out of the grave, that we might experience real life. That's why we celebrate today. That's why we celebrate resurrection. That's why we celebrate the fact that the grave is empty. Because the power that God exercised in order to raise Jesus from the dead is available to each and every one of us, so that in the lives that we live that sometimes feel like we are sort of walking dead, we can be made alive as well. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And as they do, I want to encourage all of you to do something with me. On the seat back in front of you, you're going to see a Connect card that looks like this. If every one of you would just get one of these in your hand, I would appreciate it. On the seat back in front of you, you're going to see a card that looks just like, if you look at the back of the chair that's right in front of you, you're going to see a card that looks just like this that says Connect at the top. And I just want you to put it in your hand. If you don't have something to write with right now, that's fine. That's not a big deal. But I just want you to put one of these cards in your hand. And here's why. We use these, around here, we use these for a lot of different reasons. One is just so that we can be praying for each other. So, like, if you look at the back where it says what's next, down at the bottom there's a place where you can write stuff. We use these a lot just to be able to share prayer requests with each other. And so maybe there's some things that you'd like for the church to be praying about, or for me and my staff to be praying about. We'd love to pray with you in that regard. But we also use this to be able to talk to each other about what God is doing in our lives and where we find ourselves. And so I want to challenge you today to do something for me. Where it says what's next, there's several different places there where it says start, next step, get involved, that kind of stuff. And I want you to think about, like, where are you in these steps here? Like, Do you feel like you're still in the grave? Like you haven't experienced a relationship with Jesus, but you know what? You sure really like to. And you're tired of feeling like you're feeling, but you sure would like to know what it is to have life again, right? If you would let us know, we'd love to pray with you in that regard. Or maybe you've already given your life to the Lord, but it's like, you know what? I've been walking this road with Jesus for a long time now, but I feel like the devil's just kind of attacking me, kind of bringing me down, and I don't really know what to do with it. It's like I'm walking with Jesus, but I'm also feeling this anxiety, and I don't really know how to deal with that at the same time. I'd love to help you. Not even just figure that out, just you and I, but even help you get connected with opportunities here with the church that can help you process some of those things and figure out, like, how is the Lord working in your life? How is the Lord able to lead you into that life again? And you know what? Even on the front there where it says connect, particularly for those of you who are guests here, we'd love just to be able to follow up with you and just let you know that you're not alone. And I hope you hear that today. You're not alone. Sometimes when we're in the grave, it can feel like we're the only ones there. It can feel like no one else knows what we know. No one else has felt like what we're feeling. It feels like we're just totally disconnected from everybody. And I just want you to know you're not alone. There's other people, just like the women that went to talk to the disciples. There's other people who've already encountered the good news. And they're celebrating already. And you might just be looking at all of us celebrating like, y'all a little off, right? Y'all a little crazy, right? Kind of like the disciples thought about the women, right? And I just want you to know, we're not crazy. We've just experienced Jesus in a way that maybe you haven't yet. And the good news is that you can experience that as well. And so if you fill out that Connect card, we would love just to be able to follow up with you and just let you know that we've heard some good news, and we'd love to share that with you too. And so if you have something to write with, feel free to kind of fill that out or whatever, if you feel comfortable with that. I know sometimes if you're first time in a new place, like, it can be kind of weird, like, oh, I don't really know if I want you to come to my house to sell me vacuums or anything like that, but we're not going to sell you vacuums, by the way. But that's a really easy way for us to be able to follow up with you and make sure that whatever God's Holy Spirit is doing in your heart right now doesn't get left in this room, right? However God's working in your life right now, I want you to know that I really believe that God's Holy Spirit is trying to get you up out of your grave. And what I don't want to have happen is that you leave here still in the grave. I want you to know that you've got a way out. And if we can help you get connected to Jesus so that he can help you up out of that grave, because we can't get you out of your grave. Only Jesus can do that. Like, I'm the pastor here. I can't get you out of your grave. I don't have that power. Only Jesus can do that. But I'd sure like to help you get connected to people who can help you. And so if that's something you're open to, we'd really love to help you with that. In getting connected to Jesus, it's actually pretty simple. It's a matter first of just acknowledging that, you know what, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I'm in a grave and I can't get myself out. And I need help with that. And then the second is just believing that Jesus is your only way out of the grave, right? We've got to trust and believe that Jesus is our only Savior. If we try to do it any other way, it's not going to work. He is our only way. And then finally, the Bible tells us that we just need to confess that He is our Savior, that He is the one that we've entrusted our lives with, right? And that as we make that confession, that He responds to our faith in Him. I want to encourage you today to make that commitment to Him. Even as we sing here, maybe you make that commitment, you know, and you acknowledge that on your card, and we can turn. In fact, what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to set this right here. And before you leave today, if you have filled out one of those cards and you just you know, even if you just want us to follow up with you, or you've made a decision for Christ or whatever, there, I'd really love for you just to drop the card in the grave there, right, in the box there, just so that you can let the grave know that's not where you're trying to stay, right? You can let Jesus know that's not where you're trying to stay, that you're trying to find your way out. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much for the good news of Jesus Christ. I thank you that we get to celebrate a risen Savior today. And I ask, God, that you would, in this time, move in our hearts, Father, that we would say yes to you, whatever that would look like, whatever that might mean, God, Help us to say yes to you right now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.